Hi, friend, and welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm your host, Taylor Morgan, a 30-something mom, quickly approaching 40, with 2 decades of experience in the financial industry, who found herself at a crossroads and made the decision to step away from my comfortable corporate life in search of something more aligned and fulfilling. I'm here to share conversations with brave souls who, like me, took the leap into the unknown. We'll dive deep into their journeys, discussing the whys and hows of following their callings. Whether you are contemplating a major life change or have already drawn your line in the sand, this is a space for you. From unexpected twists to valuable lessons and practical advice, we'll explore the realities of transitioning careers and lives. If you've ever felt that inner calling but hesitated to answer, or if you're currently navigating a big, scary decision, consider this podcast your sanctuary, a place to find inspiration, guidance, and a community of kindred spirits who've walked that path. Courage in the Calling is not just a title. It's a mantra for anyone daring to redefine their path and embrace the unknown. So lean in and hit that subscribe button, because here you've found your people. If you're ready to embrace the courage it takes to follow your calling, you're in the right place. Welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, friends. Have you ever met someone and walked away thinking, wow, they are fascinating? Well, you may walk away thinking just that after you've heard my conversation with Noah Riley. Noah is the founder and visionary leader of AI Genius Consulting. His passion for AI goes way beyond his profession, and he views it as a transformative technology with the potential to create time and improve people's lives. Noah's enthusiasm for AI is contagious, and his ability to explain complex concepts in an approachable manner makes AI understandable, accessible, and appealing to diverse audiences. His unique blend of expertise and charisma makes learning about AI both informative and enjoyable. Under Noah's leadership, AI Genius Consulting is at the forefront of AI innovation and application, providing cutting-edge solutions that help clients harness the power of AI to achieve their goals. Now, if you're thinking of skipping past this episode because you just haven't decided how you feel about AI or you think it doesn't apply to you, I challenge you to stick around, because the truth is, Noah and I talk much more about his incredible journey than the topic of AI. So go ahead, grab your cup of coffee or drink of choice, and prepare to meet the fascinating Noah Riley. Noah, thank you so much for being here on Courage in the Calling. I'm super excited to bring this conversation to our listeners. I've so enjoyed getting to know you and hearing more about your passions and where you're at today and what you're bringing into the world. So here on Courage in the Calling, we are chatting with individuals who have gone through career and life transition. So Noah, if you could take our listeners back to a time in your life where you were going through a transition season, what did that look like? What did it feel like? Help us understand kind of what your world looked like at that time.
Any transition season.
Absolutely. Any transition season.
Jeez. That was most of my life.
I know. There's a whole lifetime of them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, as far as probably things that are, you know, relevant to a lot of people, I mean, at least in the business world, are probably business transitions, but life transitions are and business seem to be pretty intricately linked. I guess there's been a lot of significant things that have happened in the last year. And when I guess for a little bit of history, I was working for a larger company. Let's go back to 2022, where I was a graphic designer. And I was working for a large company that probably doesn't want to be named, so I won't.
Sure.
2,200 employees. I was the lead designer of their graphic design program. And I was doing a lot of programming at the time, programming, coding, and processes more so than design. So it was kind of weird. But I had a period of time in there where I was realizing, or at least thinking to myself as I was watching, how inefficient the systems were. That I could do it myself. And I was, I don't want to say given the opportunity, because that would make it seem like something good happened. And mm-hmm. it was more so like, again, I've never done a podcast trying to like protect certain people.
Sure.
I essentially lost everything.
Like, oh, wow.
Everything. I had nothing. No money, no stuff, no place to live, no nothing at the beginning of 2023.
So, okay. Let me pause you for just a second now. So this is a brand new part of your story. I have not. So I'm learning and hearing with the listeners in real time. So you were with a company in 2022 as a lead graphic designer, but in that role, not really acting as a graphic designer. You were focused more on coding and processing and improving broken processes at the time. And then so fast forward to beginning of 2023, you're moving into 2023 with nothing, you're saying. So no unemployed, no funds.
Family tragedy. Okay. Had to move on the fly. I was living in Oregon and I didn't really have any time or notice or anything. And I didn't have a lot of options as to how to deal with the situation. And so I moved to Idaho in January of 2023 with absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. Like, I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a wardrobe. I had to drop everything and go with nothing and leave everything. And I know it seems like kind of weird, but it happened. When I got here, I had already been kind of thinking to myself about how I was going to move into the next phase of my life as far as professionally. I guess this gave me an opportunity to actually do that, just because I wasn't working for so I don't have to have the excuse anymore of like, well, I have a good job, or I didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a legitimate chance at, or a shot at, trying to do it myself. Which, as it turns out, and I'm sure you know this, and every single entrepreneur knows this, it's really hard.
It's
really hard. And there was like the added pressure of trying to take care of one of my family members when I didn't really have the means to take care of myself. There's a lot of pressure to make it work. And it's challenging. And I think for the last, since January of 2023 up until now, and anybody who knows me knows that I've been working most weeks at least 6 days, maybe 7 days a week, no less than 12 hours a day this whole time.
Yeah.
Trying to beat the odds, turn this story around, and make it work.
You're in a new place, trying to literally survive, take care of yourself, and take care of someone else. I would never ask you to share anything that you're not comfortable sharing, but I have to imagine that this episode will eventually make it to someone who's in a very similar situation. And so can you, on a practical level, talk a little bit, Noah, about how you moved into stability? And of course, stability looks a little bit different for everyone, but whatever your concept and reality of stability is, can you share a little bit about resources that you leaned on, or things that you found available that were helpful for you in the event that someone hears this and is experiencing something somewhat similar to that?
Yeah. So there are a lot of different kind of schools of thought of you would do this, but let me do it in story form. I think this is maybe the easiest way to do this. So when I was a kid, I was very, well, I shouldn't say when I was a kid, it was most of my life, dealing with a lot of very severe depression. Like, I was clinically depressed, like diagnosed, like institutionalized a couple times, like dealing with, from a very young age, like very young. Up to the first time I attempted suicide, I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And I don't even know how many times I tried in my teens. And not like the cry for help one, like ended up in the hospital, like, holy cow, he made it, you know, attempts, those kind of things.
Yeah.
I was very depressed. And so my journey through my teenage years and into my 20s was arduous. It was difficult. It was confusing. And to add to the mixture, you know, I think I may have mentioned this before, but yeah, I wasn't even speaking in full sentences until I was a teenager. I didn't know that I had Asperger's. I didn't know why it was so difficult for me to like put my thoughts into words. So I spent a good chunk of my life just thinking that there's just something inherently wrong as a being, like that I'm wrong. There was a period from time I was like, for like a year between like 12 and 13, where I was really trying to decide, like, am I an alien? Because I feel like either I'm an alien or I'm a human and everyone else is alien and they all know. Like, I thought I was like, I just felt so secluded. Like, nobody gets me. I don't know how to talk to people. So going through all of that and then into my 20s, there was a time when I kind of broke through. Like there was like a moment of breakthrough and I kind of went into the other side of the ditch. Now, I grew up in a very religious background. And so part of a shift in my life was when I kind of left the church and started exploring, you know, just thoughts and ideas on my own. I didn't cling to any one kind of belief. And in conjunction with that, well, I was really disciplined in my spiritual beliefs. And so like we're getting into it. I hadn't done anything like my childhood. There was no sneaking out. There was no partying. I never drank. I never smoked. There was no girls. There was no nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like until I was 21.
Mm.
And then I was like, I want to do everything.
Full throttle. Yep, I hear it. I've heard it so many times.
Yeah.
I've heard it so many times. Yeah, they're like, no, I just want to experience the world. Yeah.
So I kind of went to the other side. Well, you know, there was a lot of things that in, you know, my experience in church, and I graduated from Bible school. And I did the whole thing. You know, I had 2 years of that. I traveled all over the country, and like, we were like, I know you're like, what? Like, I haven't told you any of this.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard any of this. I'm like, where was all this in our conversations? You know, but it's fascinating.
Like it's been 40 minutes. Like,
it's true. It's true.
No,
I appreciate you sharing with us today.
There's a lot of, So anyway, I was traveling. I was doing that thing. I lived that life. And then when I got out of it, there were a couple things that happened. One was I didn't feel morally bound the same way that I was as far as like experiencing certain things in my life. Mm-hmm. But I didn't lose the reason why I loved the church, which was just love in general, loving people, caring, wanting to help. That didn't go away.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to do things for myself and love people at the same time. And, you know, I had been in a state of, you know, kind of a lot of guilt. That was like my number one motivator, and a lot of that had to do with how I was raised. Like, we were guilted into things. It was like,
yeah,
this is just like how you do it. Like, well, you know, the Bible says you do this, and like if you don't, like,
used as a tool almost, yeah, to keep people in line. Yeah.
So fast forward, go to this year and a half of this. This was my party phase, debauchery. Partying. I joined the circus. Literally joined the circus. Yeah.
And did what? What was your job in the circus?
Well, at first I was just doing the rigging, but when I was performing, I was doing hand balancing and silks.
What?
Yeah. Cool, right?
There's video somewhere, right, that we can go and see this?
I don't know if I can see that.
I've got to see video evidence of this. Noah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we have, worked in the circus.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's amazing. And then,
but during that time, you know, I was doing, for me, just having fun.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where I where the kind of facade broke. And that person underneath who like really genuinely cared about other people, like broke through that surface person who was like, I'm having fun. This feels good. I like, doing stuff I like to do. And it came in the form of, hurting somebody that was really close to me, unintentionally, but I did it, and it just shattered me. And so I just stopped everything. I stopped drinking. I stopped seeing, there were no girls, no drinking, no smoking, no nothing. Like I was just like, I just stopped cold turkey. And for me, it wasn't so much that I was thinking like, I have a problem. I just thought to myself, she said something to me, like she kept saying this like thing, like, why would you do this to me? Like, and those words really like rang in my head, and there was like an element of it where, there were just miscommunications, like a romantic interest who, I'm not really trying to date. And she was like, oh yeah, it's cool. But you know how that goes. Like,
yeah.
You're like physically involved, you get emotionally involved.
And it's so intertwined. And we, speaking as a female, we want to be the cool girl. We don't want to be clingy. We don't want to be too over eager because we're told that's not attractive. And yet, especially when you wrap the physicality part of that, I don't care how cool you say you are, it is so hard not to develop feelings, especially if you just genuinely enjoy the other person as a person. And then you add that, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah. So that was the thing, where I was like, we're just having fun. She was thinking and wanting more and thinking that that's what I was trying to do, was like make it more.
Yeah.
I wasn't. And the things that she was pointing to about like these really like really kind things that I was doing for her, she was like, that's not something that you do with someone just casual. And so it was kind of weird because it was like she was using like me being really nice to her as like a thing of being like, this is why you're a liar. and I was like,
yikes.
Yeah. And I didn't get mad. I really, in that moment when she was telling me and she had a breakdown, and like we were just like out, she just started, lost it, started bawling. We're just downtown Portland, starts bawling, and she's like, why would you do this to me? Like, I loved you. And I was like, I just thought, like, is this who I am? And so that's why I stopped everything. Like, I need quiet. Because if that's true, if I am the person who does that, I'm not okay with it. And it was only after I had stopped, especially with the drinking, I didn't realize until I stopped that I was using it as a coping mechanism. And when it was, everything went quiet, and when I wasn't making plans to go out, and when I wasn't inviting somebody over, and my thoughts underneath all of that noise became very loud, and I realized I am that person. I had become the thing that I hated, and I was selfish. I was betraying myself. And so I went through this really intense year and a half where I was essentially just trying to break myself down, understand myself, and kind of find the new purpose. I wasn't ready to like go back into a place where I was religious or considering myself religious or join a religion, but I did want to understand myself better and be more intentional about who I was becoming, because I had become something on accident. I wasn't okay with that. And so I started meditating a lot, going to groups, just completely just flipping my life on its head. And in that process, ended up moving to Hawaii, and I sold everything pretty much that I owned except what I could carry in a bag, and then gave away all the money that was in excess of what I needed for the ticket. Bought a one-way ticket to Hawaii. Went to live on a noni fruit farm in a hut and be an organic fruit farmer with no electricity and no running water. And I just was farming noni fruit, and meditating, and walking around in the rural part of Big Island, Hawaii, the Puna district, trying to find who I was.
Wow. And,
so as I was leading up to making that decision, I had stumbled across this book called The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino.
Mm-hmm.
That book, while the first half of it is admittedly garbage in my opinion, the second half of it is incredible in so many ways. And it's actually this quote that I have on my arm. It's backwards. It says, "I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy."
Oh, wow.
It comes from that. I got that when I was like 23. And so what I was doing with that book, I read it. So there were like, at the end of it, there were scrolls. Like the 3, 4, 5 pages per thing. And I was reading one 3 times a day and I kept memorizing this thing. What they did was they gave me ammunition to combat negative thoughts so that when one surfaced, there was an instant reaction in my subconscious with a counter thought. So it didn't just casually slip into my subconscious and then start spinning and creating a story in my head that wasn't true. It got caught every time because it would acknowledge those things. So in other words, like a really simple one. One of the scrolls is, "I will greet this day with love in my heart." And one of the lines in there is, "I will love the rain for it cleanses my soul." And if you've lived in Portland, you know it just rains all the time. And it's really easy. It seems simple, right? It's really easy to walk out your front door and just be like, "Great, it's raining, it's this, that." But instead, what started happening as I was reading this over and over and over again, I would walk out and that rain would hit me and it would just trigger that thought, "I will love the rain for it cleanses my soul." And it started in. And so with all 10 of them together, it addressed probably 95% of my negative thoughts, my negative self-talk in some way. And so they were just being caught, like before they hit me, like they would be like caught, they didn't go in.
Yeah.
And so I say all that to say, you said like someone's going to be watching this who's going through something similar. I'm not in the clear. I'm month to month. I live month to month. And, and it's not like month to month where I know that if I show up at work, I'm going to get my paycheck. I have to, like, next month's bills, I don't know. I have to go find that work. I have to go find that business.
Yeah.
And when I woke up this morning, I was looking at the ceiling and I said to myself out loud, I was like, "I have so much to be grateful for. I've been in such worse positions. I woke up without a bed." And I was like, "I'm privileged. I'm grateful." It is not a thing that you get to, like, your circumstances, they rise and fall. And it's one of my, one of my little quotes for life is, I cannot tell good fortune from bad. And I'm always mistaking one for the other because I did not know the future. Like, I will not allow my happiness to rise and fall with the circumstances of my life.
Mm-hmm.
More powerful than my misfortunes. That's like one of my.
It's beautiful.
One of my statements. And so a lot of it, the thing that I would, the advice that I would give is to. Mind your self-talk, mind your thoughts, be conscious of what you allow yourself to think. When you feel something, examine it and take the time, develop the tools. I think there's a lot of, there's a self-help book for everything, right?
And there's, oh my gosh, you can self-help yourself to death today.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because it's like, what is it? What is it that causes people to decline mentally, emotionally?
Mm-hmm.
We're all essentially doing the same. It's the same kind of basic equation. We wake up in the morning and we have these meat suits. They are experiencing reality through the filter of the 5 senses. We're being told certain things. We're getting the feedback like this is pleasurable. This is not pleasurable. This is good. This is bad. And like based on what not this thing is. And then the thing that gets complicated is we start to extrapolate further and further into the future what seems to be or what might be good or bad. And we base that off of a lot of things that we've experienced in the past.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, like you have your ego in your mind, this kind of shadow version of yourself that takes in all the information, stores all the good and bad feelings, and then like creates some kind of other version of you that just sits in your head and tells you like this thing is good, this thing is bad, but it's dumb. Like your ego's dumb. It is not intelligent at all. It is a child. It said, I did this thing, and last time I did it, it hurt. So I don't want to do that again. And it just stores that. And that's pretty much it. And then it builds an entire framework, a mentality, a belief system wrapped around those very simple things of being like, I didn't like that. Oh, I liked that. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. I liked that. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were to do anything else like that, we would just fail instantly. If you ran a business like that, if you raised your kids like that, if you drove a car like that, it doesn't really matter what the thing is, but it's hard, you know, because there's so much emotion involved. So it's like the ability to recognize those thoughts rise and create an alternative. You know, like if you were thinking of your mind as a garden and you see a weed, don't walk past it.
And just leave it there. Yeah.
Yeah. Why, you know, if you do, it will suck nutrients from the soil, from other good plants that need to be getting them. And those are your good thoughts, your positive emotions, your ambitions. I don't think that there's really anything good about attaching yourself to your belief systems, because beliefs are subject to be bombarded by life constantly. And challenged constantly. And it's not that that in and of itself is bad. It's when that's attached to who you are.
That's your identity.
Every single time, yes, every single time a little piece of your like ethos gets broken, it feels like it breaks you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if instead of making your exterior beliefs about certain facts about the world, this is good, this is bad, a part of who you are, if you make your principles who you are, like I am not the fact that I am a business owner. Like that's who I am. No, that's what I do. Who I am is patience. Who I am is discipline. Like who I am is kindness. Those things are dynamic and they can't be broken.
Right.
Those don't get to be broken by stuff that's happening around you. They flex to every situation.
Yeah. You know?
And that allows you to maneuver through life without being so susceptible to being broken down.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important. And even in your case, because I know, your beliefs, I'm assuming Christian? Can I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So
Christ follower. Yeah.
Christ follower. Okay.
I'm careful not to subscribe so much to the religion, but I follow the person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, you know, Jesus was pretty clear about the way that he talked to people. He was pretty simple in his ideals about loving
people. Yeah.
Like, love God, love people. What does that mean? You're kind, you're this, you're that. Like, he was trying to be like, hey, like, these are the things that are important. We've wrapped an entire, like, just gigantic, like, belief system around it, just so that, and you know what that is? That's ego, because we want to be right. Because all the people who are like, who are inside or outside of the church, even that thing that you just said just now, be like, I don't subscribe so much to religion. Why? Because we already know, like in a lot of people who are even in the belief themselves, like have the association of what does it mean to be a Christian? Oh, it means to be judgmental, argumentative. You know, like you have these things. Why? Because we built an entire belief system around protecting our egos and being able to look at somebody else and be like, I'm right and you're wrong. Like, and that is so human. It's so human.
It is incredibly human. Yes. Incredibly flawed and broken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why? Why would you make that a part of who you are? Why would you make your belief? Why are you so sure? You're a fleck of dust on a fleck of dust of a planet and a fleck of dust of a galaxy so big, you would never be able to even understand like the how huge the universe is and how small we are. How is it that in our little caveman peanut brains, we think that we've figured out the entire universe and God and we're right?
Yeah. I mean, that blows my mind. And sometimes it's not about being able, for me personally, very personally, it's not, I don't ever assume that I will fully understand. I don't even know that I'll even somewhat understand, but that because I don't understand doesn't mean I can't believe. And some days it really just comes down to belief in the person that is Jesus Christ, right? And who I believe him to be. But you're right. My gut instinct, guttural, and you saw it, like immediately I pushed away that concept of religion. I don't want to be subscribed to that. I don't want to be attached to that because of the negativity that is expressed in the world around that very specifically, which now I'm going to be thinking about that. So way to go, Noe. Now you've got me like questioning all those pieces, which is exactly what we're meant to do for one another, is to challenge and question and think, help each other dig deeper into the whys. But it does blow my mind that there are individuals out there who do claim to have all the answers.
It's like all of the things that I really admire, that I really loved about the belief system or about the church didn't have anything to do with the belief system itself. Like the idea of love or the idea of self-betterment or being kind to people or being selfless or being like all those things that I was like really like, this is what really like gets me, it's what inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't exclusive to any beliefs, and I'm not sure, like I don't know, I mean, maybe I messed up, maybe I'm gonna die and burn in hell and that'll be it. And they'll be like, oh man, you were so close, you just missed it.
you just right there. Like, yeah,
thank you for service.
Okay. Yeah. Valiant effort.
Yeah.
Valiant effort. Okay. I think for me, I choose Christianity because I believe based on not just scripture, because I do believe scripture to be true, but also, you know, scientific evidence that's been shared and researched and published. I do believe that Jesus Christ was a real person. So I can point back to certain events and certain things to say, it's not just a feeling or a belief, but scientifically and factually, I believe this to be true. And if this is true, what does that mean? Right? What does this mean for my life? But I feel like that's a journey we're constantly on. So the way we believe today, you know, and some of it's based on life experience or, supernatural encounters or whatever you believe to be true, right? I think that's, to me, that's a constant journey and it doesn't end until, you know, and none of us really know, right? It's, again, none of us really know.
Is the beautiful part to me.
Yeah.
That to me is the unifying part to me.
Yeah.
That I can look at you and say, you don't know what you're doing and I don't know what I'm doing. We're just trying to figure it out. We're just two pieces of dust. We're floating in the light. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're not, and we have no clue what we're doing.
You're like, exactly correct.
So that's why I always, when I talk to people and they're like in any period of turmoil in their life, that's the first thing I ask them, what do you want? I'm just shocked how often I ask people that question and they have no clue. I'm like, then how do you make decisions if you don't know what you want?
Yeah.
Because if you don't consciously know what you want, then it's only your subconscious wants that are being addressed because they're being pushed forward into your conscious mind. Then you think, I think I want this thing.
And you're just kind of bumbling around. Yeah. Trying to figure out what the next step is based on previous experiences or
previous
things that we believe to be dangerous. True. Yeah. Oh gosh.
You decide incredibly what you so want based on previous experiences. Oh my goodness. Okay. We have a very finite lens with which to view life. There are ways to try to expand our awareness of ourselves and understand other people's situations. But I don't know about you, but I had a really hard life. If I based what I wanted off of previous experiences, I don't think I'd be functional. I think this is kind of the weird crux is that we are multidimensional beings. We have, at the very least, in my opinion, we have a body that seems clear. We have a mind that seems clear. We have a spirit, maybe less clear, seems clear to me. There's something that can observe the fact that I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. That thing is the spirit. I can command myself to speak these words, and that thing, whatever that thing is, it's behind the mind. All of those parts of yourself want very different things all the time.
That's so true. And a lot of times, yeah, they're all in, like they're combating one another constantly.
Yeah. And that is kind of, to me, where this is the difference between like how people go about getting what they want. Some people change their ability to receive, and some people want to change the world around them. So in one case, I could say like, I'm very sensitive to noise. It's uncomfortable for me. And so some people might go and be like, okay, I'm going to sit in a loud room for 5 minutes. And then next time I'm going to do 6 minutes, and then 7 minutes. And I'm going to be able to basically change myself so that I can deal with those things that are uncomfortable to me and get better and better at it. Or I'm going to wear earplugs, whatever. There's another version of a person that goes into a room. It's like, everybody needs to be quiet right now.
Yeah.
They just want to change the outside of them versus changing the inside of them. And I think that that's kind of like that push and pull balance, right? Of being like, okay, we do all try to change our circumstances to some degree. You know, you have on one side the Buddhist monks or Tibetan monks who can do anything. They can take anything. You can't get them mad. You can't get them whatever. Those are the people who have done everything they can to change themselves. On the other side of it, we think of our mega billionaire moguls, our Donald Trumps, our Elon Musks, who when they don't like something, they go out and change the thing outside of themselves because they can't. They have the power to do that.
Yeah.
And somewhere we're all like trying to figure out what's the best way to make that balance. And it all has to do with what you want. What do you want?
But you got to get really clear about what you want.
What do you want, Mark?
It's not easy. Do what?
What do you want?
No, that's another podcast for another day. That's such... Right now, I'm going to get this podcast out because so people can hear it, because I feel like they need to hear it. This is going to impact someone in a really big way. I'm convinced of that. So share with us a little bit. You've gone through some stuff. And you've experienced, and I don't know how old you are, and I would not dare ask, but 35. In your, what I would imagine, 35? That's relatively a very short time on this earth, right? You still have a whole, if we're lucky, a second half of your life plus to live. So you've experienced a lot in this time that you've spent on this flying rock flying through space, right? So share with us where you are at today. So what does your situation look like today? Obviously, we know you've moved into entrepreneurship. You made a comment earlier, like, I can do this better, right? So we've moved now into this, I'm going to figure out how to do this better. So share with us a little bit about what you're doing today, what your situation looks like.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur now, and I can do it better. And when I started my thing, my graphic design stuff, in the beginning of 2023, and then... I had already been exposed to DALL-E at that time, which is an image generator, an AI image generator. It's part of ChatGPT. And back at the first time that I saw it, I think it was in October of 2022, I was like, oh, this is going to replace me. It's 100%. There's no way this doesn't replace me. This is incredible. And so I had kind of set upon that journey of being like, I need to know every single thing there is to know about this. For the first half of 2023, I was heavy into learning about AI and all of its capabilities. I was constantly studying and testing tools. I was constantly seeing how I could use it to improve my workflows or efficiency or whatever. And I thought it was really interesting. And I think AI is incredible. And so I just kept learning more and doing more and making more stuff and making all these bots and generators and little programs just to see what they could do. And they're amazing and they're cool. Other people are making cool stuff. And I found myself with my graphic design clients, you know, talking mostly about AI. You know, they were like, so my logo. And I was like, so AI. there was a lot of times I would be working with people and I'd be like, hey, have you thought about doing, you know, X, Y, or Z with this AI program? And people kept saying things like, man, I would pay somebody to tell me how to do all this stuff. And I was just like, would you? And so I just kind of, the idea came to me. I was like, what if I could do this as a career? So I did a bunch of market testing. I started talking to a lot of people about it. Would you pay? What would you pay? What would you find valuable about it? After about 2 months of pretty heavy, like having a lot of conversations with people I knew, people I didn't know, I was getting just kind of an overwhelming response that this was a really needed thing. Mm-hmm. We were confused and scared and didn't know what to do and didn't know how to do it. And so I went to this event called Boise Entrepreneur Week. That entire week, there was all these people there. I spent the whole week telling people that I was an AI consultant just to see the reaction.
That's amazing. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, what does that mean? That's like, oh, you know, I help businesses understand how to use AI in their processes, create efficiencies, things like that. And they were like, and I was like, what do you think of that? Like, do you think that's a good, would you pay for that? Like, yeah, that's amazing. I'm like, oh, wow. And so I made it my mission at Boise Entrepreneur Week to essentially tell everyone that's what I did. And just, I was just telling as many people as I can and getting their reactions. And that was my big last market test. And on the last day, you know, I was having the conversations and I went home and I was like, okay, I had just gotten to a point of stability.
Okay. So you're a graphic designer, but you hate graphic design. So how does that work?
Well, I mean, I was good at it, you know, and it was something, it was my first opportunity in my life to have my work be on a computer. Most of my life I had been, you know, like a server or a manual laborer. And so when I got the opportunity to work on a computer, I've always been a nerd. I mean, like top to bottom, inside and out, like nerd forever. I'm super into tech, computers, anime, chess, like I'm a nerd. And
I love that these are like the cat, you know, like these are the check boxes. Like, do you like chess? Yes. Nerd. Awesome. Do you like anime? Yes. Nerd. Awesome. It's great.
Like, when I see a video of someone writing an awesome piece of code, I get excited. If I see a video of some drama about Kim Kardashian, I get nauseous.
Thank God for people like you, Noah.
Yeah. So I just kind of, I didn't like it. And so I decided that I was going to kind of pivot, like hard pivot. That weekend after, I just kind of, I knew that I could keep going and like be stable and kind of make it work. Mm-hmm. But I felt like this was kind of a gold rush situation. Like this is literally like the beginning of something. I felt like I was realizing as I was talking to people that I was on the forefront. Like I was doing the research and the testing and I had the technical knowledge to actually really like dissect these tools and understand what they're good at and not good at. And because I had been a lead designer of a giant company, and because I was spending all my time in there building processes and in-house applications and like doing these like inter-department communications, I could look at these pieces of software and know just from using them, like these are the problems that I would have integrating them into a company. These are the problems that they would have when they try to train their staff on them. These ones don't adhere to any data security compliance issues. This won't give me an actual ROI. This is going to take me more time. It's cooler. It'll take me more time, which is, and because if you're working in a company that has 2,200 people in it and you have a process that takes 1,000 people, 5 extra minutes, that can represent a 6-figure loss on the year. That's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of tightness that you need, like in a company that large where you're really losing it. Yeah. I mean, your minutes are huge, represent giant losses and gains.
Yeah.
So when I was going out and testing these tools, I was just like, I felt like I had a different viewpoint of it. It wasn't just whether or not it was cool or whether or not I could say that I was using it or whether or not I could sit it on top of some of the program I was using. Like I was coming at it from the kind of a really like high level efficiency,
business
a really high standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I realized that when I would speak on these things and people would hear me speak, they were like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, they probably wouldn't think about that. Why would they think about that? Why would they even know to think about that or ask those questions?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of seeing that I could provide some value. I was seeing that there was a need for it, and that I had a unique perspective, and it was something that I was really passionate about. And I've heard the story a million times. If you've seen it on probably, I don't know how many people's YouTube channels, when they talk about when they made it, you know, the hard decision they made, the leap of faith they made. And it's kind of felt like that moment for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, this is something that I really want to do. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. And I just come from like a really hard struggle, and I was really craving the security, but I was just like.
But that's what makes it a leap of faith, when you're like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah. So that weekend, because I'm a graphic designer and a web developer and a coder, I was able to I designed my logo. I registered my company. I built my website. I designed my business cards. And on Monday, I had a new business.
Wow. Holy smokes. I'm still trying to register a business. This work out a lot. So, no, we'll chat after.
Right.
Okay, so
yeah, we have stuff to look. Oh, and I got to plug my computer in. I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. No, don't do that. Don't die on us. Okay. Don't die on us. I think that's amazing, though. So when you shared that with me originally, you were like, you sent me to your website. And I was like, wait a minute. Yes. And I was like, wait a minute. You don't do this anymore? And you were like, yeah, no, I hate it. And I just, again, to me, it's such a, I don't know that I've ever been so skilled at something. Right, that I could show people, that was like a tangible thing, like graphic design, and you talking about the psychology of it, and just like the intricacy and the depth of knowledge around what it can be and what it can do and what it's meant to do and how businesses can leverage it and things like that is fascinating. So to hear someone who's so knowledgeable, and then to see the fact that you can take that knowledge, you apply that, and there's something so beautiful that's created. It is hard for someone like me who claims to not have a creative bone in their body, right? Who is craving to be able to do something like that, to hear you say like, yeah, I just don't like doing it, so I decided to do something else. Like, it's almost mind boggling, right? I'm like, what? But I think that's such an important message for listeners to hear. And we talked about that day, like, just because you're good at something doesn't mean by default you love that thing, and does not mean that you don't have this other calling and these other passions that you're truly meant to pursue and bring into the world in some way, shape, or form. So I thought that was really important for our listeners to hear too. Yeah.
There's, you know, the hardest part of graphic design, and I think I liked about it the least, was the I think honestly just kind of the, well, it's really hard. It's really, I don't mean that the process itself is hard. It's dealing with people. And because it's this weird intersection between, like, you're creating an effective product versus creating a piece of art. And I always wanted to create an effective product. But when you actually go and talk to people, that's usually not their motivation.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Their motivation, they say that's their motivation, but it's not. So, you know, when someone comes to me and they're like, I want a logo. Okay, cool. Let's talk about it. It's your target audience. What are you? And then most of the time they don't know, right? And you're just going through all these questions. You're having this back and forth. I'm like, so I was thinking like I want yellow, right? And red. And maybe like a little bit of green, because I really like green, and then like a ribbon, and then I want like maybe like a silhouette of a cat, and because like I love my cat. I mean, I just love my cat. And I'm thinking to myself, like you sell dishwashers. Like, why am I putting the logo of a cat with ribbons? And I mean, that's really hyperbolic, but that is the journey of graphic design.
I can imagine.
Just tells me like, okay, tell me, what's your industry? What do you do? You know, what's your whatever? And I'll be like, cool. Now go away And when you come back, I will have an effective graphic that will communicate and target your target clientele in the most effective way that it can. But that is not what people want. You know, they say they do, but they don't. So that back and forth, and that, and then that being exacerbated by options like Freelancer and Upwork and Fiverr, and then Canva, which destroyed graphic design forever. And then now you have AI. So you have this huge suite of options out there if you're a business owner to not hire a graphic designer. And so what that looks like is every single time you have a conversation with somebody, you have to spend all of your time justifying your value. So while you as Taylor Morgan goes to my website and says, like, wow, you're so talented. Everyone says that. Like, wow, you're really good at what you do. I'm like, cool, will you hire me? Nope. I use Canva.
See, and I can't. And that's for those people, I'm like, kudos. Good for you. Because I got out to Canva and I can minimal. I can do minimal things in there. I had to have a friend like help me put things together because even things like Canva are completely overwhelming for me. So I am that person who's like, I know what my limitations are. That ain't it. Like, that is not where my strength is. That is not where my skill set is. It is going to take me so many more hours trying to figure out, and I'll never, never be happy with the outcome. Jeez. It's worth my time. It is worth my time and my money to be like Noah, or, you know, I had an amazing friend, Emily, who's going to come onto the podcast too, but I'd reach out to her to do my website, right? But I had a friend who recently launched her podcast just a few months ahead of mine, who has a background in graphic design, who was like, I will help you. But the great thing about that is she realized that there's value in that. I paid her very nominally, very, very nominal fee, because she's just amazing and kind. And she knew I didn't have any money because I wasn't working at the time. So I will do this for you. She's incredible. But she was like, wait a minute, there's value in that. So now if you go to her website, one of her service offerings is putting together artwork and graphics for podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like she was able to take that and be like, oh, wait, people need this. People will pay for this. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, we got to get you at least some templates going. I'll show you some stuff.
I know.
It'd be super simple. You have your, I see the stuff that you put on LinkedIn, just like a simple picture with a text box. And all you have to do is go back to it, type some new text and then export it. We'll get you. Well, don't worry. We'll set up.
You have so much faith in me, Noah, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, look, the only reason you don't have faith in yourself is because you can't see to the end. But I know every single step from beginning to end, and I know that if you take it one step at a time, you'll get there.
Oh, I feel like that needs to be that's going to be a quote somewhere. We're going to pull that piece out, and that's a great clip. I hope people got that. Okay, so Noah, given where you are today, knowing what you know today, if you could share a message or a piece of advice with Noah going through any number of the transitions, right, or just compile them all together and say, okay, if I could offer my younger self going through some of those experiences a piece of advice or message, what would that be?
You're stronger than you think. You're gonna make it.
I cannot think of a better message. That's amazing. I know you've given our listeners so much wonderful advice today, and I think things to really challenge belief sets and how we operate in the world. But if there's one last piece of advice or if there's one message you'd want them to take away today, what would that be?
Stay in motion. It's really easy to get to feel stuck, and then you feel overwhelmed, and then you get anxious, and it paralyzes you. I mean, adopt it as an absolute core philosophy to the point where it doesn't even have to be relevant. Like, if you're like, I can't think of anything, go take a walk. I mean, literally, your mind, your body, stay in motion. The only time like you start to regress is when you stop moving, because you just only left with your old information that will just spin and 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 spin, and it just digs deeper and deeper grooves. And if you're not in a good place and you're not introducing new information, new mm-hmm. ideas, new, you know, perspectives. So like if you're in a really difficult place, instead of sitting in your room and thinking to yourself what a failure you are, call somebody. If you're feeling like you're feeling really like uncomfortable and like you're a failure at your career, go take a walk. I mean, literally stay in motion. It is that to me, like dealing with depression, I can tell you that was probably one of the most damaging things that no one ever told me. Get up, get out of your room, say something to someone, you know. It's a long time to learn that lesson.
Yeah, that's so hard for a lot of people, is either reaching out to initiate a conversation when you're feeling, I call it when you're in those rotting periods. My best friend and I, if we don't hear from each other for, you know, more than a few days, we know we're kind of in a rotting yeah. period. And she knows I'm sitting over here rotting and either dwelling in something or self-loathing about something, or, you know, like, I mean, there were a couple of times going through this transition season for me where I honestly felt like my toes were like gripping the ledge of depression, right? Where like one more negative thought could have sent me over the edge, the point of, I don't know how you recover, you know, like what does that recovery period look like? And while sometimes I feel like that's, like, if you feel like that's what you need to do, then do that. But you got to wrap it up, right? It cannot be something that you're sitting and dwelling in for a long period of time. I think it's okay to feel the emotions that you're feeling. But reach to your point, reaching out, forcing yourself to have a conversation with someone or engage with someone or ask for help or just say, or send a text just to say, I'm rotting. And you know, I'm in a rough spot right now. There were so many days that she'd call and ask how I was doing, and I'd say, I'm here. And that was the best I was doing. Like the big accomplishment of the day was I got out of bed and I showered myself, and that was it. And that was my, like, I was taking that as a win. And I feel like some days you do have to do that, but that you can't allow that to be your everyday. So I appreciate that advice, Noah. Thank you. And thank you so much for sharing so openly with us today. Again, I wholeheartedly believe that the right people are going to hear this message. And I think there's going to be something beautiful in here for them. If folks want to reach out to you, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Noah Riley. I'm the AI guy. I guess pretty easy to find now. You can Google AI Genius Consulting, and that should pop up. You'll see my little logo with it. This logo, little tree. You can call my business number. But if you search for AI Genius Consulting or AI Consulting Boise, like you'll see it there. Not too hard to find.
Awesome, Noah Riley. Thank you so much for being here today, Noah. I am so glad that we were connected. Thank you, Haley Wilson, the AI fairy godmother.
Shout out to Haley.
She's so amazing. Oh, and you guys have an event that you're planning currently. The Great Debate is coming up. Is that right? Do you have any information? I saw a post on LinkedIn about that today, but do you have any more information you'd want to share for that?
She's just hosting the debate where we kind of talk about some of the controversial issues around AI. It's done a bit theatrically where we're pitted like two different viewpoints against each other and then just kind of a hot debate. We lost one person and gained one person and lost another person. So we are I have people. Like I told her, I was like, look, I got people who would love to argue about this stuff. One guy in particular, and I'm not sure that I want to blow him up on the podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway, is Brad Fraser, who is an extremely intelligent person, and he's kind of against AI. Now, mind you, he's a friend. And so we're actually working on co-presentations with each other, because the thing that we really have in common is like we are about the facts. So I love that he's on the other side of it, but it's not just a bunch of fear-based nonsense. He just points to facts. And I do the same thing. I'm not just a crazy optimist accelerationist who has no thought whatsoever for like anything but, you know, money or moving forward. Like I think about things like, what are the facts? So like we really jive on that. We very much are synergistic on that. So I told Haley and I was like, well, I was like, he's a pretty busy guy. And I was like, I don't know if he would want to actually do the thing. But I talked to him and he was like, that sounds great. And I was like, oh God, he's been a lawyer for like ever. He's a really good arguer. So like, we would have like a debate against each other. He might destroy me.
That's a myth. Well, I don't know. I feel like you can hold your own. However, that's going to be super interesting. I think that's going to be super. So even if, okay, so let's say you're not necessarily into AI specifically, but you're just into politics and like political juxtaposition of ideas. It sounds like that's going to be entertaining regardless of, you know, whether or not you're a huge fan.
AI is just a buzzword, you know, it's like,
right,
the stuff we're talking about is deeply human, like deeply human, like AI. Yeah. You know, I think we've really mentioned this before, but this is one of the first times we've had a technology come out that's making people question, are we about to become a secondary species on the planet? You know,
what does it mean to be human?
So that question keeps coming up over and over again. What does it actually mean to be human? We're actually I feel like there's been a lot of actual struggle since AI has become such a hot topic for people to define what that means. What does it mean to be human? What if an AI can do X, Y, and Z? Does that mean that it's human? Is it sentient? Does it need to have skin? What does it mean to be a human being? Like, is it just kind of these specific parts? Is it because we're biological? Well, not really. Is it because we can think? Not really. Is it because we're self-referential? Not really. Yeah, because we can point to other things that are that, but that we wouldn't call them human.
Right. Yeah, this is one of the things you and I connected over was the movie. Was it Her?
Her.
If you haven't seen that and you want to get your mind blown,
go
check it out. Joaquin Phoenix, who I'm a huge fan of anyway. But yeah, that had me in a state for a few days for real. Yeah. So definitely go check that out if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, Noah, thank you so much. This has been such a joy. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat with us today. You guys reach out to him if you've got, you know, any work in the, it's process oriented, right? So if you've got questions about that type of thing, definitely reach out to Noah. You will not be sorry. I promise. He's amazing. So
if you're curious about what an AI consultant does, I mean, I perform the function of a fractional CTO, like a chief technology officer who is AI, who has like a lot of AI knowledge. So it's really about creating efficiencies, process, workflows, automations, training, keeping your systems like up to date, like being able to actually do an entire analysis of your software stack and then like optimize it to its greatest level possible.
And people want to be doing that now, whether you're entrepreneur, solopreneur, or an organization, like a true organization, you want to be having that conversation now. You want to be looking at that now. Honestly, I would say if you haven't already done it, you're behind the curve. Is that fair to say?
Yes, because the problem is going to be how much time it'll take to catch up. By the time, if you're in an industry and you have like, you know, company one and company two, if you're company one and you're like, we'll figure it out, you know, eventually. And company two is like, let's figure it out right now. And then they set systems in place that allow them to be, and this is an exaggeration, if you know anything about AI, if they set up systems that allow them to be five times more efficient than you are, and then they can drop their price in half and deliver a higher quality product five times faster than you can, you won't be able to compete and you won't be able to catch up, period.
Right.
And so we're in this situation right now where there are some people who are like, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll get to our systems eventually. But this is like, eventually you're going to get to a point where you're going to have competitors who will just annihilate you. And then it'll happen overnight. Like you won't know what happened because they're just working on systems and like, oh, wow, we figured it out. We figured out how to integrate all this stuff into our systems. And now we're, you know, so much more efficient that we can drop our prices significantly and price all of our competition completely out of the market. And while you're trying to catch up, you'll go out of business.
Oh, man. Wow, that's crazy. And it can't happen that fast. And we've seen tech take that turn that quickly. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. Well, guys, don't wait. That's the message. Don't wait. Don't wait. That's awesome. Noah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, I will. You too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Courage in the Calling. If you enjoyed the conversation, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you feel led, please also share and leave us a review to help other friends find us. For more resources and deeper connection, please visit the website at courageinthecalling.com. If you or someone you know has navigated a big, scary transition and would like to share your journey, please email me at podcast@courageinthecalling.com. Remember, it's never too late to start again.